If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you for your patience with me in the last episode. I told you guys that I wasn't feeling well. Life came at me fast. I got a cold and my husband left for Nigeria for a week. So I was a single parent to 3 kids, 5 and under, while still in school and all of the things. Needless to say, I packed up and went to my mama's house. But it was still a rough week nonetheless. But my voice is back. I feel a lot better. And I'm excited for us to continue on with our book club pick, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Now, this book is relatively quick. I think each chapter is pretty short. So instead of like one chapter per episode, I'm going to do 2. And even the way that he writes is more like journal style. Like it looks as if somebody was writing in their journal. So he takes up a lot of the page. So even the pages don't even have a lot of words on them. So I think 2 chapters an episode gives us an opportunity to have a meaningful discussion about multiple things. So if you do not have this book, I will put the link in the show notes. If you are somebody who feels rushed, you feel hurried, you feel like you have a lot going on, you feel like there's not enough hours in the day, you feel like you are stretched thin, overwhelmed, burnt out, this is the book for you. If you feel like this just cannot be the life that God has for me, this is the book that you need to pick up. I'm excited to be revisiting it with you guys because it's giving me a lot of reminders. I've read this book before, but my life was less busy, crazy enough, when I read it the first time. My life was a lot less busy than it is now. And so I felt that it was a good opportunity to revisit it. And of course, I wanted to do that with you guys here on the show. Now, the book is broken up into 3 parts. We finished part 1. Part 1 was really all about, I'll say, diagnosing the problem, really getting into the weeds about why hurry is so detrimental to us as Christians and as people. And part 2 that we're starting today is all about the solution. This book is so timely because I found myself lately being really reflective. And I think because I just had a birthday that passed last month, I'm in that phase. I'm in my early 30s. I think because I have children automatically I feel like, force you to get your priorities in order just because you have these little humans that you're responsible for. And I found myself thinking a lot about ambition and grind and entrepreneurship these days. And I find my desires changing a bit. If I could just give y'all some of my unorganized thoughts, because maybe you're feeling the same way, to where I don't desire a lot of the pace that was once exhilarating, where there's a part of the grind when you're building something that is really exciting. It's tough. It's hard, of course, building a business from scratch and having these big goals and going after them. It is difficult because a lot of us are pioneering things. We're building something from nothing, but it's also exciting. There's this rush or this high that you get where you make that first sale or you meet your first income goal or you accomplish whatever is meaningful to you. There's this excitement that comes from it. There's this redemption arc that you feel where you're struggling through building a business or launching a new product or service, and you don't know how it's going to go. You're nervous, you're scared, you're trusting God, all of these things. And then you launch it and it's successful. There's a rush and a high that comes with this emotional roller coaster of entrepreneurship. And it's one that I've enjoyed. To be honest, I've been an entrepreneur for 11 years, full-time for 9. I've knocked my goals out of the park. My first goal was to be a full-time entrepreneur. I did that at 24. My next goal was to have a 6-figure business. I did that before 30. I wanted to then make another 6 figures. I did that. And in the midst of that, I also started a family. I got married. I started having children. And then things changed a bit. And I lived my 20s to the fullest. I have no regrets on how my 20s went. But now that I'm in my 30s, how I see my life has shifted some. To where, of course, there's still goals that I have and things that I want to accomplish. However, I don't have a desire to go about being successful entrepreneurially in the same way as before. I think the studio, Anchored Media Studios, has also kind of ushered me into this mindset to where I had these two businesses. I had Anchored Media and Anchored Media Studios. And what the businesses require of me are different. Anchored Media required me to create content, to do my YouTube videos, to do this podcast, and I'll put an asterisk next to that because this podcast is more of like, I look at it as more of ministry than a business, even though it makes money and all of the things. But I had to record this podcast, do my YouTube videos, do content, send emails. I'm working personally with clients. I'm building my team. There's a lot of activity that has gone into building and growing Anchored Media to be successful. Then on the other end, I have Anchored Media Studios, where we have this asset in the building. We own the building. So I have equity that is growing as time goes on in the building. A lot of it is very hands off. The whole building is remote access. It's like a smart building. We can control the lights, the door, the temperature, everything from our devices. So I don't have to show up there every day. Our marketing strategy is a lot less of me showing up as the talent. So we use a lot of SEO. I use a lot of platforms like Peerspace and all of these platforms that match spaces with people who are looking for them. We have partnerships. We partner with local celebrities and entrepreneurs and business owners who bring people into the space. We partner with local realtors who make sure our offices and things are leased. So there's a lot less required of me for that business, but I get to sit back and watch it grow and reap the benefits of it. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we had an event at the studio that our realtor put on to showcase our offices. And I didn't do any planning for the event, didn't set nothing up, didn't break nothing down. I just popped in. I was out of school on my spring break. I had some time. So I decided to just pop in. And I'm the type of person where I don't go into spaces and flex. Like, that's not my personality. I'm way more laid back. And I would prefer not to be the center of attention at all. So I kind of just go in. get my little fruit plate and just hang out and listen to people, talk to people, seeing what they're talking about. I never really introduced myself as the owner initially. It was our realtor who was like, oh, this is Tatum. She's one of the owners of the space. And then, you know, you get to see people shift a bit. At first, they didn't know who I was. And it was a very distinct difference from once they realized that I owned the space, which is always funny to see. But I was able to sit and listen to people share their dreams and their goals and to hear how this studio was inspiring to them and to just see the business at work. Something that was once a dream, that was once something in my prayer journal, something that was very scary to do, to go from having an online business to a physical business is very scary. And then we've had ups and downs that I've talked about here on the podcast. But there was something special to me about being able to experience that and then go home and not have to take clips to record and all of these things. And so I have these two different entrepreneurial experiences, one that's more active, one that's more passive, and we can argue which one is better. And I will argue that the ownership approach with Anchored Media is better, because even though Anchored Media, or with Anchored Media Studios, excuse me, is better, is because even though with Anchored Media, I made a lot of money. I pocketed a lot more money than I do with Anchored Media Studios. The studio is a long goal. I never created it for it to like pay my bills. I created it as an asset that will grow and that I will cash out when we sell. So I prefer that model. My husband and I own a residential investment property. And this was our house. This was the first house that we bought shortly after we got married. We lived there for a little bit. Once we had our first son, we moved out and rented it out, and we've been renting it out ever since. And so I'm sitting here thinking about these assets that I have. I have Anchored Media, the business. I have Anchored Media Studios, another business that also has this asset, this commercial real estate property. Then we have this other asset on a residential side. Both of these real estate properties are growing in equity as time goes on, and both require minimal day-to-day activity from me. And then I have Anchored Media, that cash flow was consistent. It was high. However, if I pulled back and decided that I didn't want to do anything, then that impacts my income. And so at this phase of entrepreneurship, I'm explaining the different paths to entrepreneurial success, because I want the person who is listening, who is either new in business or who is growing their business, and you're also hearing this conversation about the ruthless elimination of hurry, and you're struggling with recognizing how less can equal more, I want to invite you, or I'm sharing this to invite you into a mindset of understanding that you don't have to be rushed to be rich. You don't have to be rushed to be successful. There are different ways for you to accomplish whatever the Lord has called you to do, and it is okay to adjust those ways at any given time. So in my phase of life, young kids, having my businesses, going into the legal profession, I am in a phase of life to where I don't want to do the work that is required to grow a business that I am the face of, but I also want to still have assets and equity that I am building so that I can still create generational wealth. And so in this phase of life, you may not see me as much. You may not see my face everywhere on creating everything. And honestly, with the way that these algorithms and social media is in this stage, I'm disinterested in playing that game completely. However, I'm still growing. My businesses are still growing. My assets and portfolio and wealth is still growing. And when the seasons change again, and my children are a little bit older, they need me a little bit less, I have a little bit more free time, I'm going to pop back out into the next phase that does require me to be active and show up and be the face of every single day. And the Lord has already shown me some things that I'm really excited about, but I'm definitely in no rush to do anything with. It's one of those I'm writing it down and closing the prayer journal until the appointed time. But again, I say all this to say and share my current perspective on entrepreneurship and growing a business, because I think that it also aligns with a lot that is discussed in this book. And I think it also could maybe give some of you the freedom and the permission to not have to do business or wealth building the way that you may see online right now. Because the world's way is the world's way, but the Lord is inviting us into a lifestyle that is one of ease, that is one where His yoke is easy and His burden is light, as we're going to discuss as we talk about this book. He's inviting us to a pace. He's inviting us to live and experience the God math formula that we talked about on previous episodes, where your consecration plus your concentration on what He has for you equals multiplication and supernatural multiplication, not just something that you can do in your own strength, but multiplication that just simply does not make sense. This episode is brought to you by NerdWallet. Running a small business is tough. And when it's time to get a loan, it can feel impossible to find a lender that you can actually trust. Big banks say no. The internet, full of sketchy offers with sky-high rates and fine print that you can barely read. Whether you need help covering payroll, managing cash flow, or investing in growth, you deserve better. That's why I recommend the small business marketplace Fundera, powered by NerdWallet. It's a free, easy-to-use platform that lets you compare real financing offers from trusted lenders, all in one place. What I like is that you don't need the perfect credit to get started. No spam, no bait and switch, just personalized options that fit your business needs. If I needed a loan right now, this is exactly what I would use. And here's the best part. For a limited time, when you visit nerdwallet.com/blessed and fill out the no obligation form, you'll get VIP treatment and speak to a real person who knows all the ins and outs of small business lending. Don't risk your business on unreliable lenders. Go to nerdwallet.com/blessed to get the funding that you deserve. Fundera Inc., NMLS, ID number 1240038. This episode is brought to you by IXL. With spring activities, sports, and busy schedules, it can be tough to keep academics front and center. IXL makes it simple to stay consistent and build momentum without adding stress. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math with confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace, it's an easy way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. I use IXL every single day, and we have been using it at least for the last year. I love IXL. My son loves IXL, and I'm actually getting ready to start my soon-to-be preschooler on IXL as well. My son loves it because it's like a game. It's super interactive, and I love it as a parent because while he thinks it's fun, I know it's also benefiting him. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. It also saves you time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. And 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today. to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Time for Learning. Now, my kids are in regular school, but we embrace in my house a homeschool type of flow because we believe in education beyond the classroom. And Time for Learning allows for real life learning, customized schedules, and hands-on experiences. They believe in harnessing the flexibility of homeschool to help families explore passions, travel, and hobbies without the constraints of traditional school hours. Schedule a mix of subjects in each day or focus on specific ones by the day. favored by homeschoolers as a main curriculum or a supplement, and time for learning is also used for after school or summer learning to address learning gaps or maintain skills. Their activity planner plus transcript templates make it easy to match homeschool requirements in all 50 states. Best of all, the results are confident, future-forward kids that are ready to thrive in college and career. Curious if Time for Learning is right for your family? Visit timeforlearning.com. That's timeforlearning.com to explore their curriculum and find the perfect plan for your student. You can get started with a monthly subscription to see just how much your kids enjoy learning on their own terms. So let's dive in to the book. I pray that me sharing that, that's something that's been on my mind and my heart. And the thing about this podcast is we're 9 years in. And how I feel about entrepreneurship right now and everything that we just discussed is different than where I was in 2017 when this show launched. Totally different. But things evolve. And what I love about this show is we have 500 plus episodes. Like, I don't even know how many episodes, but I know it's over 500. We have 500 or so episodes discussing faith and business from different seasons and different viewpoints. And so I want to mark this as an evolution of even my own goals or desires or view of entrepreneurship. But nevertheless, back into the book, part two is all about the solution. As I said before, part one was really diagnosing this hurry problem. And so part two, we're talking about the solution. So this chapter, he doesn't have chapter numbers. This chapter is called Hint, the Solution Isn't More Time. It says, on a regular basis, I catch myself saying, I wish there were 10 more hours in the day. Even as I mouth it, I realize my logic is flawed. Think about it. Even if God were a Robin Williams-esque genie in a bottle, there to make my every wish come true, and he were to alter the structure of the universe to give me 10 more hours in a day, what would I likely do with those 10 hours? The same thing most people would do, fill them up with even more things, and then I would be even more tired, burnt out, and emotionally frayed and spiritually at risk than I am now. He said, here's my point. The solution to an overbusy life is not more time. It is to slow down and to simplify our lives around what really matters. And I think that's where I'm getting at when I talk about how I feel about entrepreneurship right now. I feel like business should be a simplified process. I feel right now, because this can change. And of course, it sounds different than I may have sounded years ago. Right now, I feel that entrepreneurship should be slowed down and it should be simplified in such a way to where our life prioritizes what matters. And what matters is our allegiance and obedience to Christ. What matters is our emotional health and well-being. What matters is our families. And the business matters too. That God brand, business, mission, ministry that you're called to, that matters as well. But if we focus on simplifying it around what matters most, that mindset could also be applied to how you do business. It may be you don't have five offerings, you have two that sell really well. It may be you don't have a business to where you're the face of it and you have to show up in order to make money. It could be that the way in which you build wealth is different. You may be showing up to do what only God has called you to do, and you have other creative ways in which you make sure that you reach your revenue goals. And this can look so many different ways for different people. I use the studio as an example because since it was such a risky move to start this type of business. And for those of you who don't know, the studio is a content studio / co-working space, and people use it for everything. Events, office space, office address, photo shoots, video shoots, parties, conferences, anything you can think of, our space can be used for. you can go to, I'll put the link to the website in the show notes so you can explore what Anchor Media Studios has to offer. And shameless plug, we have some offices that are available for lease if you're in the DC area and you need somewhere to work. We have co-working memberships that are now available. So if you want to get out the house, not work in coffee shops, have an inspiring and beautiful and Holy Spirit filled place to work out of or create, go to our website. The link is in the show notes. But in starting this business, the reason why we bought the building wasn't just to stroke our ego, but it was more so of like an insurance plan of, okay, if this business doesn't work, I'm not stuck owing a landlord. If this business doesn't work, then I'll sell it. And then my equity in a building will pay me back for my troubles and then some. And so it was just a great approach to doing the business that mitigated a lot of risk. And so, again, you may have creative ways in which you do things. Some people have businesses where they don't charge for services, but they get a percentage of any sales that they make. Think of this as like how realtors have their models, to where realtors don't charge you for them selling your home. They charge a commission based on the sale. All of the work that they do beforehand is to get to the point of the sale, and you're not paying them. And some people have other business models that are similar. They're not charging you for the service necessarily, but they get a split of the sale. And that may feel like, well, doesn't that mean I'm going to do a whole bunch of work, more work without getting paid? Not necessarily. Because what that does is when you have a business model like that, is it's a lot easier for you to acquire clients because they have no barrier of entry. They're not paying anything. And so it's a lot easier for you to grow your clientele because what you're offering on the surface looks free. And then that allows you to essentially filter through who you want to provide that service for. And you could do things like when you have your consultation, have like a form that people fill out that also has different qualifiers. Let's say you want people in a certain income level, people a certain demographic, whatever makes sense so that you can filter out your ideal client. You can have things in place that do that. But by you having a model that allows them to seem as if they're working with you for free, that takes away a lot of the marketing aspect for you. At that point, you're only worried about awareness. Conversion is a lot easier. And as awareness is only one part of the funnel. When you're in charge of the whole funnel, that's more work, right? So just a quick example that every business does not have to look the way that you see it look online. It can be simplified and it can be successful. There are many entrepreneurs who do not have social media pages. There are many business owners who don't actively sell on social media, but are wildly successful. And so again, I'm sharing these different things because I want this conversation about slowing down, about simplifying, to not just be something that sounds good, but something that you really see as possible and practical. The author goes on and makes a profound point. He says, you have all sorts of sharp secular thinkers, and he names a few, writing about essentialism and minimalism, which is great. I eat those books up. But these ideas are what followers of Jesus have been saying for millennia. We get to the intersection of hurry and the way of Jesus in a few pages. But for now, think about Genesis, the opening of the book in the library of Scripture. Our defining narrative says that we are made in the image of God, but also we are made from the dust. Image and dust. To be made in the image of God means that we're rife with potential. We have the divine's capacity in our DNA. We're like God. We were created to image his behavior, to rule like he does, to gather up the raw materials of our planet and reshape them into a world for human beings to flourish and thrive. But that's only half the story. We're also made from the dirt, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're the original biodegradable containers, which means we are born with limitations. We are not God. We're mortal, not immortal. Finite, not infinite. Image and dust, potential and limitations. One of the key tasks of our apprenticeship to Jesus is living in both our potential and our limitations. He says, there are a lot of talk right now about reaching your full potential. And I'm all for it. Step out, risk it all, have faith, chase the dream that God put in your heart. Become the technicolor version of who you were meant to be. But again, that's only half the story. What you hear very little of, inside or outside the church, is accepting your limitations. We live in a culture that wants to transgress all limitations, not accept them. To cheat time and space, to be like God, in quotes, to watch every new film, listen to every new podcast, read every new book, hear every record, go to every concert, drive every road trip, travel to every country, eat at every new restaurant, party at every new bar opening, befriend every new face, fix every problem in society, rise to the top of every field, win every award, and make every list of who's who. And I sped that up when I was reading on purpose. He says, listen, I have good news for you. Great news, in fact. You can't do it all, and neither can I. We are human. Time, space, one place at a time, all that pesky, non-omnipresent stuff. We have limitations, lots of them. I love that he highlighted this, because when we are in this space of achievement, entrepreneurship, we get sucked into the rabbit hole of toxic positivity that requires us to the world's version of quote unquote manifest, to think and achieve, to focus on your growth, what you could produce, what you can do, your potential, going after your all of the things, your gifts, your destiny, all of these things we're sold. But when do we just sit in the reality of our limitations? And let me tell you, as I grow and mature, one of the most peaceful places to sit is in the reality of my deficits. And here's what I mean by that. It is exhausting to try to always work on something, to always try to grow and improve every single thing. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that we don't seek to grow. What I'm saying is some limitations we need to accept. I can grow as a speaker. I can grow my skill sets as a podcaster. I can grow as an entrepreneur. I can grow as a mother. I can grow as a wife. I can improve my skills in the kitchen. I can improve my skills in class. I can improve all of these different areas, but I cannot be who I'm not, and I am not God. I cannot create my own future. I can grow in areas that can mitigate some risks, but I am not the Alpha and the Omega. I can do what the Lord told me, but I don't know everything. The Bible says we prophesy in part, we understand in part. And I find it to be freeing. I find it to be peaceful and so grounding to accept my limitations. Becoming successful is not my business. I always say one of the first lessons the Lord gave me when I decided to do business His way is that success is nothing more than pleasing Him. No money, no accolades, no influence, no anything is success. Success is pleasing God, full stop. And so once I realized that I am limited to that mission, I'm telling you, it's freeing. It's freeing. When you realize that you're not in charge of the outcome, it is free. And I know for my fellow control freaks who like to be, have your hands on the wheel, you like to know everything, you want to know where we going, how we getting there, all of that. I'm telling you, it is scary to take your hands off the steering wheel. But once you get there, it'll be tempting to put your hands back on. But it is a level of freedom that comes with surrender. And I would encourage anybody who likes to be in control to really sit with, accept, and find peace in your limitations. Because in doing that, you also, I feel, will add another depth to your relationship with the Lord that I feel like you actually might be looking for. more in our relationship with God will require less of our own need to control. So the author goes to name out some limitations. If we were ever unclear about where our limitations lie, he graciously provided us with a list. The first one is our bodies. We can only be in one place at a time. Our minds, like I just said, the scripture, we only know in part. The problem is we don't know what we don't know. Nobody is an encyclopedia. We all miss things. Number three, our giftings. Whatever your thing is, parenting, painting, music, entrepreneurship, origami, whatever, there will always be somebody better at it than you. Always. Stings, doesn't it? But why should it? What is it about the human condition that makes it well nigh impossible for many of us to celebrate both those who are more gifted than we are and our own best work? When did the standard for success become a celebrity's magnum opus, not our own sweat and tears? Number four, he says, our personalities and emotional wirings. We only have so much capacity. He says, I'm an introvert. Same. I'm actually deeply relational, but my relational plate is small. I'm also melancholy by nature. Same. I hate to admit it, but some people have a lot more capacity than I do. They can relate to more people, carry more responsibility, handle more stress, work more hours, lead more people, and so on than I can ever dream of. Even the best version of me can't do it all. Number five, our families of origin. None of us start with a blank slate. Some of us start with a leg up in life. Others of us walk with a limp for our early years. A mother wound, an absent father, nominal or non-existent faith in our parents, generational poverty. Our family sets some limits on our lives before we even come out of the womb. Number six, our socioeconomic origins. And I'm glad he admitted this. America is built around the myth of a classless society, a myth that conceals a deep well of injustice. The truth is, even in our land of opportunity, some people just have more opportunity than others. One of the great tragedies of America is that privilege is all too often, if not usually, connected to the color of your skin. If you're like me, white, male, middle class, you realize after a while that you started the game from third base. Some of your friends started in a parking lot. The game was rigged in your favor. But no matter how high up the Western social hierarchy you started, there is always somebody above you. Always. Number seven, our education and careers. If you dropped out of high school, that's a limitation. If you have a PhD from Harvard, that's another in an odd way. Your career might limit you because it's low paying or hard on your body's energy reserves, or because you're so successful that you have to work insane hours just to stay on top of the load. Number eight, our seasons of life and responsibilities, like going to college or raising a young child or caring for dying parents. In some seasons, we just have very little extra time to give away. Number nine, our 80 or so years of life, if we're that blessed. There is no guarantee, but whether we live to 18 or 108, life is fleeting. And number 10, God's call on our lives. I hesitate to say this because it will be easy to misinterpret, but there are limits to God's call on each of us. I think of Peter's envy of John's call over his own less pleasant assignment of an upside-down crucifixion. Jesus had to lovingly reprimand Peter. What is that to you? You must follow me. Many of us need to hear those same words and find freedom in them, especially those of us who deal with comparison. This is me. He's done with his list. When we get caught up in seeing how God is using others or how he may be blessing others, we have to say the same thing to ourselves that Jesus said to Peter. What is that to me? I must follow him. Period. He says, and the main limitation we all share, regardless of where you started in life or how smart or hardworking or type A you are, is time. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a multinational corporation or a retired school bus driver, if you're single or raising a family of seven, if you live in a wind tunnel of global city, or on a farm in the middle of Kansas without cell service or Wi-Fi. Nobody has more than 24 hours in a day. We simply can't see, read, watch, taste, drink, experience, be, or do it all. Not an option. Life is a series of choices. Every yes is 1,000 no's. Every activity we give our time to is 1,000 other activities we can't give our time to. Because, duh, we can't be in two places at once. This seems so simple, but when I read this the first time a few years ago, it was almost as if I exhaled when I went through this list and when I read these pages, because it's like him discussing limitations gave me a freedom to be limited that up until that point, I don't think I had given myself. And maybe you could relate. When we are type A people, when we are driven, when we are achievement oriented, it's as if we try to make it as if we do not have the permission to be human. And it sucks because a lot of times where you are that high performing person, other people don't give you permission to be human. Because when you're not doing well, nobody sees it. Or if they do see it, they try to be empathetic, but only to the extent that gets you back to the position where you can do something for them. We don't often let ourselves face, accept, and just rest in our limitations. I know I didn't for a long time. But with growth and maturity, you get to that space, as I was describing before, where you rejoice in your limitations because you know that the Bible says that it is in our weakness that His strength is shown best. When I am weak, I am strong because I'm not operating from my own flesh and strength. I'm operating from His, which are limitless, which are infinite. And now you find yourself, when you get to this space, that pressure that we feel is not really there anymore because the weight is not being carried on our shoulders. It's being casted on Him. Now He's carrying us as we go through whatever life has for us. I prefer to accept my limitations. Giving myself grace, there's a difference between giving yourself grace and giving yourself excuses. But this is a lesson, this limitations lesson is one of giving yourself grace. Because many of us needed the permission to be limited, the permission to not be perfect, to not have it all together, to not be able to do 50 million things at the same time. Because when you reach this place of acceptance, you'll start to say no more often. You'll start to create the life that gives you that pace that the Lord wants you to have, that isn't rushed, that isn't hurried, that is surrendered, that's soft, that is peaceful, that's freeing, that's joyful, that's exciting, all of the things that we want. And since we're coming up on our time, I'm going to stop at this chapter and we'll pick up the next one in the next episode. But he quotes Paul and he says, Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." He says the next to last phrase can be translated from the Greek in a few ways: redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity, make the most of every chance that you get. Every day is a chance. Every hour an opportunity, every moment a precious gift. How will you spend yours? Will you squander them on trivial things or invest them in the eternal kind of life? Of course, most of us want to spend our time wisely, but many of us are not single like Paul, or we're not independently wealthy like Thoreau, which is a philosopher he quoted earlier. We hate how addictive we are, how easily distracted we've become. So maybe the better questions are, how do we live deliberately without going off into the forest to scavenge our own food or abandoning our family? How do we slow down, simplify, and live deliberately right in the middle of the chaos of the noisy, fast-paced, urban digital world that we call home? Well, the answer, of course, is easy. Follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to pick up and talk about in the next episode. I pray that this blessed you. Please get this book. The link is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.